Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Exactly, that's what I was wondering. If it was slow, it's just me.
Aren't we all these days? Right, okay. Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 236, and this is a midweek one, really, just to catch up. We haven't felt shame for a while. Nick, we forgot to argue about something from last time, and I also want to plug the mag because there's a new 324 and 325, still do the double issues, sorry, from COVID. I should let it go, but my head can't work out a way to number it without, I don't know. And isn't it very Red News to be still doing double mag numbers? But if anyone said, you know, like, why do we still do fanzines? I would say this is it. I'm very proud of this mag. I'm proud of them all. But sometimes you feel a bit, you have a special affinity with some. And I'll go into what's in it later. But just to show that even in this ragtag mess of a mag, some of this stuff has been 2 years planning with the second division stuff. So you try and sort of fit whatever's in. And there's been a lot of changes because obviously I've just given it over. And what is a fanzine? It's you. It's the readers. So there's about five or six people who've never written before to get writing for this mag. And it's just your views about Eric, really. So it's just like I put it to bed and I just thought, This is why we still do it. This is why I still love doing it. You won't always agree, nor do I, with some of the stuff, but there we are. But we'll get onto that at the end. So, yeah, thanks to Shane and Nick joining. So, lots to cover and then not lots to cover, really. From my view, cop out, but I'm going to go read the mag because I've had to change the editorial to be with events. So, my view will be, I think you know where I'm coming from the last few. He's sort of getting lucky with the news that's breaking. Southgate, thank God, taking the year out. And Tuchel, which I can't see him being an international manager. That really surprises me, him taking the England job. And so it limits an already limited field, which he's got lucky. But do you not, oh man, what is going on? I just do not know what's going to happen. But, I mean, I just don't know. I can't get my head around it, really. And I will say, like, we're in a period, I suppose we should comment about the Fergie story, but it just feels like it is a story, but it also feels like a non-story, and sort of like the epitome of the modern thing that every like mundane, you know, that's happened, I'll move on, has to become an event. So it's like, it seems logical. We all love Fergie. I don't think, you know, for all the then debate that we can have about Coulmer and all that, but it's like, it doesn't lessen the thing. They've made X amount of people sacked. It follows logic that you start cutting corners where it's 2 million, and it's like, they've done his suite up, you know, they've done his suite for games up this summer. He's got his 8 tickets or whatever. And he's 82. So it's like, we don't have to endlessly discuss everything for hours and hours. Things happen. The big thing is, let's get back to what happens at football games. Right, so I suppose Nick wants me to, and Nathan has pointed out, I do ramble. This is me, unfortunately. Stream of consciousnesses. But Nick has made it clear, let's go bit by bit. So I'm going to go Villa. Shane, what did you think of Villa? And recently?
Villa, I guess, you know, the manager under a bit of pressure, the team under a bit of pressure. I thought it's probably a good defensive display, quite solid, but pretty uninspiring the rest of the pitch, to be honest with you. So, but you, like, taking that game in itself, I think most teams indeed, let alone our current Man United side, would go to Villa and think a draw is a good result given the form they've been in the last season and a bit. So yeah, I kind of think it's a one-off game. It was okay, but pretty dull, which sums us up. But I think we're kind of measuring that on the performances around it. So we're probably a bit tainted the fact that it sort of made evident yet again that our creativity and lack of goal scorer is wanting. But yeah, I thought it was okay, but a bit of nothingness, really, to be honest. It's just uninspiring, isn't it, going forwards? But ironically good defensively, but I guess it's a poor measure of where we've been in recent years, that the best player, or the best United player at least on the park, was, and arguably on the park full stop, was Johnny Evans, who, taking nothing away from Johnny Evans, yeah, a decent player, but someone who, like, over a decade ago could only get in half of the games in a title-winning side. You know, it's the fact that level has become our best player on the day is not a good indictment of the signings that have happened in the interim. So, you know, like as a measure, I was looking at, I'm not saying we should have gone for Danny Welbeck back, but you're looking at sort of striker, you think, well, we offloaded Danny Welbeck, and has anyone that's come in since on a sustained period been better than him, you know? And it's like, I just thought the Evans thing was a bit of a please for him, but sad reflection of where we are as a club. So that was really my takeaway from Villa.
Nick?
I guess it was two teams coming off two very draining European nights, wasn't it, at the end of it? You know, you've got Aston Villa, obviously, beaten Bayern Munich a couple of nights before. We'd had a very emotional roller coaster of an evening away at Porto. So I think it's probably not too much of a surprise. The game sort of was a bit of a, I say, drab. I mean, it was a bit of a drab, really. I spent most of the second half just on my phone. I could barely watch it. It was so boring. And I had that conversation with someone at work the next day, which probably feeding to your next point, which was just, well, when it gets boring and you don't want to watch it anymore, isn't that the point where you should just get a new manager? And that's where it is. And I kind of agree with that school of thought. Like Shane was saying, it is damning to see Johnny Evans being the best player on the pitch. You know, I had that written down. It was nice to see Martinez and Dilic drop, because they've obviously been out of form. They've been making very simple mistakes, can't defend balls into the box. And, you know, they were saying, oh, well, we know that's what Aston Villa are going to do. And it's like, well, every team will do that against us. It's just how easy we are to play against. So I'm not buying it was the whole, oh, they were being rested or anything like that. You know, they've just not been good enough. And for Maguire and Evans did a good job, but ultimately we just look so predictable up front, so slow to move the ball forward, that it's no wonder we're not scoring any goals. I know we've come back to that centre forward chat, everything's just so laboured going forward. But again, I suppose that's when you get to that point where you just think, well, should we be replacing the manager and looking for something else now, someone having some different ideas, because the players are there. I don't think anyone can question that. I think if you've got a number nine, then you should be scoring a lot more good goals than what you've got. But kind of a boring, though, wasn't it? Like a really, really drab affair.
I was harking back to phrases on this. It's like Ollie never had breathing space, and Eric has had periods where there's been, you know, we've all said, no, he's got it till the end of the season. But I thought Eric knew he didn't lose that. But it also made me think, decent move on, you know, any other season you think, God, that was shite, won't remember it 6 months later. But we can't have Eric's doing that game by game, you know, just to save his job. I mean, obviously results dictate how it all goes anyway. But it's like, it goes back to the point I made, like, what's different to that week to the week that's coming up? Do you know, like, if we put on that he has to win this, the level is he has to be any week now. So it's just there's so many odd things going on at that club right now that it doesn't feel like there's no breathing space now. You know, like, at what point will we? Only if he goes on an unbeaten run. So that's not going to help him. It's not going to help the team. It's not going to help us. I did think, weirdly, we're at that stage where it's better that we're playing away than home, because at home, rightly or wrongly, we'll want to go Saturday and see a good performance, but they're not going to get an opportunity if things are going tits up. There's going to be a weight on their shoulders. And I think that this is that point where the players will prefer playing away than at Old Trafford if things start going, because, you know, if we're playing shit by half time, I perversely think we'll actually win on Saturday. Sigh of relief, thank God. Go to West Ham, probably get a draw, but I think the implosion isn't too far away. Shane, where do you stand on Eric?
I'm probably a little bit against the grain, in a sense that I'm not saying ultimately he's the person that's going to shoulder the job, but I see little sense in changing him now, personally, unless behind the scenes they've identified, scouted, and have got someone that fits with their kind of model of whatever the new football structure sees as playing and developing to. So you've got to assume they've got some sort of master plan, or they're drawing one up. And until they've got that plan and the person that fits it and the style of football and the sort of role they want within that structure, I don't see the point in, like, if I'm honest with you, it'd be a bit insulting to me to get another interim manager bounce, if it's Ruud van Nistelrooy or whoever, you know, like, no disrespect to Ruud van Nistelrooy, he might go on to be a great manager, but, like, to me, it's like another, like, it's like appointing Ollie on an interim basis again, and we know where that led. So the counter to that is, you know, the Ollie period was probably some of the best fun we've had at football. So I'm not saying that it wouldn't give a lift, but I see little point now in another sort of interim manager. I'd rather them let Ten Hag see it out until they've got the right person in, and see where that takes us. I think we're in quite a difficult, sorry to, like, so here you ramble on, I could become a bit of a rambling man about this, but to try and articulate, I think we're caught between what we think we should be in terms of Manchester United with the best players, and in the past, people like Fergie, Ancelotti, for example, they're good managers that come in and can handle a big dressing room with big name players, and they kind of don't necessarily do the big coaching role, but they can manage those personalities and get the best out of them and keep the harmony going and keep a tight lid on things. Or we after a kind of what seems to me, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but we seem to be looking to the likes of bloody Brighton, and, you know, we want a manager that can develop young players that their peak is ahead of them and nurture them and kind of get more than some of the parts in the meantime. And I think, like, obviously you want a manager that can do both those things, handle the dressing room and do that nurturing. But we seem to be looking more towards still the sort of value player, not the big names. And we seem to be looking, like, we keep talking about, or I keep hearing, like, oh, we need a Brighton model. We need, like, fucking with Man United, you know. And I think that's the weird caught between, really. We're looking for, I don't think we know what we are at the moment and what manager we need. And I think that's where we're caught between at the moment. So I'm a bit, like, sounds a bit confusing, but I think we're a bit confused as a football club about what, and who the next manager should be.
But I think, Shane, that's a pertinent point, because, I mean, also, like, we've brought up ourselves between us, you know, like, there's no given that any of us, even with all the money and the gratefulness that the 28% isn't the Glazers, that there's no given that they're going to be successful at this. Brailsford's got no experience as and was a Scouser growing up, let that go. But, you know, like, there's no given that he's going to do this. And there's so many throws of the dice to get right, let alone the manager bit, but to get it right, the football structure's got to be right. Then you've got, you know, like, they'll implement a style of play. And there's so many weird things going on, like the Tuchel thing. I bring him up because they did meet him and they were surprised that it didn't go to plan. So then suddenly he's gone. They've given Eric a stay of marriage conveniences, it was put to me by someone at United. And you think, we're not, like, the one thing they've got, we're not in control of certain situations again, and you want to be in control. Oh, sorry, Shane, go on.
So what I was just going to say, like, to your point, really, like, I guess, yeah, not to be sobering on it, is that we've still got the same ownership, and what we've got is, like, you hope that a new footballing structure, rather than Ed Woodward just kind of chasing any well-known footballing name that he can, will get more out of what's at our disposal, but it's still what's at our disposal. And that, you know, we used to use the word value, didn't we, at the back end of Fergie and onwards. And I think we're still looking at that value. Where can we do value? And we're looking at, it feels to me, we're looking like a manager who can eke out more than the sum of the parts, as I say. And we're in that level below the top draw players still, and that's a little bit depressing, really. And I don't see this sort of, like, being the magical answer to our problems long term. I just think, yeah, this next manager needs to be carefully chosen, but I'm not sure what Ineos think we are yet, and it'd be interesting to see how that pans out.
But I wasn't unhappy with the way that it's built, you know, like, get the age down, don't get these mercenaries. But equally, like, if you will re-sign as a no-brainer Johnny Evans on a year deal, then you also go, right, up top, we need an experienced striker. The 50 million on Tony, you know, what I'd have preferred last year. You know, there's certain decisions where you think, we saw that. And I always thought, and I do mention it in the end, I always thought that Eric wouldn't be the man, but he'd be the man to lead us to the man, like City used to do. And that's where it's disappointing. I will say, before I go to Nick, fair play, fair fucks, Andy, Mitten, Robbo, all those who've done that, Kilimanjaro, you know, like brilliant effort. But we've struggled. Sometimes we can see it, Palace, but it was bland. But what is this actual plan? You know, in the cup final, you could see it, and it changed dynamics. But Johnny Evans did do the interview with Andy at UWS by both fanzines on Saturday. But it was Johnny Evans explaining the most succinct way it's been explained what Ten Hag's football is. And he says the manager calls it dynamic, which is fast-paced football. There's nothing boring about it. He wants to keep the ball going forward and taking the opposition on. It's made for exciting games, and hopefully we can turn some of these games into exciting for the right reasons. Now, I read that and I think, I get what you're saying, Johnny, but we certainly haven't seen that. You know, like, I get what the plan might be, but the reality has been so far off that. We are not dynamic. Nick, has your view changed on Eric? You're obviously not with what you're saying, Villa.
Well, from that, I mean, I got the guy's point when he said that to me at work, and I was like, yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, as I said to you after the Spurs game, I was like, I'm not really... I think... There's no point getting rid of him. You know, if you have a look at the list of names in order, obviously now Tuchel's gone. Van Nistelrooy's the favourite, Southgate second, Carrick's third, McKenna's fourth, and then that Edin Terzic who got dropped to the final last year is fifth. And you think, well, not one of those people inspire me at all. So I just think, why would you not want to give it a little bit longer now? We all think that it is his team, you know, and he's had a lot of signings and stuff that have come in this year. You might as well give it him. I mean, this next stretch now between international breaks is 7 games. And to be honest with you, we're not going to win the league. We all know that. I mean, we're 10 points behind Liverpool after 7 games. I mean, can you imagine what that's going to be, you know, when after nearly 40 games? If we're 40 points behind the leaders again at that pace. So you're not going to win the league. Yeah, you want to see strides in it. Yeah, you want to get top four at the moment and all the rest of that. And I understand that. But the most important game out the next stretch of fixtures, for me, personally, with the way the new European format is the Leicester City League Cup game. And I know lots of people disagree with me there, and that's fair enough, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but those European games don't matter that much because we're keeping about 3 teams get knocked out at this stage, that even if you don't win those two, you can still end up qualifying. The league games, well, you know, fair enough, we're not going to win it. That one, for me, is the most important one, so I think, well, I'll know what my thoughts are on Eric between now and the next international break. I know loads of people don't want to give him that time, but I think that when you're trying to bed in some players and, you know, I kind of want to give him, like, you know, let Ugarte have a proper show there. Let's see what the league is really all about. You know, they're obviously good players, aren't they? It's just, you know, are they not quite settled in straight away for one reason or another? So I'm prepared to give him that time at the moment, but I'm most definitely on the fence. I don't see any good in second between now and then. And when you look at those list of names that are available, it's like, who else are you going to get? Do you really want Southgate? And like Shane says, I'm sure Van Nistelrooy, he's perfectly capable, but he's a short-term appointment. So where's this football planning structure that we keep talking about?
But you cannot go backwards. You know, we can, like, if he has another, we just can't see more of this dreadful. Hopefully, you know, like, I watched Hoyland's goal against Spurs last season at Old Trafford. If Hoyland comes back fit, is better than he was last season, which was an okay start. You know, but then also, Eric, you know, you're not picking your own players. You've got to throw Ugarte in there because it's not working without him. So whether he's good enough or not, you've got, like, these are the decisions. You've got such little time. I don't think we can say Eric stays because, you know, what? Because otherwise, if it gets worse, we just can't accept it. Nathan made the good point, and I was, that the high of the week is the international break, where usually we dread them and go. But by the October one, I was thinking, oh, United haven't spoilt my weekend. So it's like, oh, I've actually enjoyed this international break without United doom. And I will, just to cheer myself up, if anyone, I can remember as a terrified 13-year-old, God knows why mum and dad let me watch it. Cold War, nuclear war, fear of it. It was weird times to live through then anyway, because you did actually, it was prevalent in the air, wafting away. Threads, 1984, BBC have only shown it 3 or 4 times. It's on iPlayer. It is fucking not for the light-hearted. If you think I can bring a mood down with an editorial, you read, watch that. But anyway, there's just about nuclear wars just about to happen. And they're listing the scores out on the radio. So, of course, I start, oh, I wonder if we played. West Brom 1, Manchester United 0. We even fucking lose a game before annihilation. I just thought that sums it up. Right. Anything? I did think, why can't we just win the bloody game before nuclear war? Right, Saturday, Shane?
Well, to be honest with you, I've not thought much about the game itself, other than, I guess, if we hate and love of the week, we sometimes do. I guess the love is it's a 3 p.m. Saturday, which is a rarity in itself in the modern day football world we live in, but especially so when you're in Europa. So, yeah, really looking forward to it, actually. Hopefully the football won't curse that. But yeah, I think I'm not looking much beyond it being a Saturday 3 p.m. That's what little joy I get these days. That in itself, I'm not thinking about the football spoiling that. But yeah, I think on a serious note, I don't know. It'd be interested to see how they come back from the international break. But you'd like to think, it sounds daft saying I think it'd be quite a tough game. But I think it might be quite a tough game for us. And,
well, they score early, don't they? They're a team that's scoring early.
Yeah. I think, I used to, back in the days of, I don't know, for the last couple of years, I've been a bit on loop about the sort of mental fragility of United and the resilience. And I just think that's come to the fore again, isn't it? If something goes wrong in a game, I think this is a damning thing for the manager, not to draw back into that conversation, but his reaction in games is, or the reaction of him and the team, whichever's to blame, is poor in adapting to them setbacks. So you kind of fear for them. I think it very much depends if something goes wrong or they get on the front foot early. And as you say, I think Old Trafford is more pressurised. There'd be a few groans and moans, and that really transmits to the team. They haven't got the sort of shoulders to carry that, this current squad. So I think the pressure will be on and it could go pear-shaped. But I think I'll... going to be an optimist to say that won't happen, and hopefully if we can get out the traps and take a chance for once, that's the key, isn't it? We have good spells, but don't take the chances. And if we took those chances, the confidence would hopefully grow. But I think I'm rambling on now,
we can't
what United are going to turn out these days.
We can't lose. I mean, that is really, I mean, then it all goes massively, he explodes I think we're going to be back here, and I think we'll win on Saturday and we'll get the four. But Chelsea at home puts the fear of God into me. I would like a positive of the week. I'm going to see Nathan, I'm going to see Nick, Dunk, Steve, you, Phil for a pint after. That's what keeps me going, it's the community. It's 3 o'clock. I enjoy those. We sell before the game, you get a couple of pints after the game. I do love the 3 p.m. and then going back, hate of the week, Fulham, Sunday, 7 p.m. No trains back for everyone. People won't get back till 1-2 in the morning before they go to work the next day. I just think, who in the fucking world thought up Sunday night, 7 p.m. football as in a sea of abominations, the kickoff times? And my other hate of the week is butter. Why has butter got harder to spread? And prices. I mean, literally, you go in a shop now and someone's emptying your pockets going, the prices after that inflation hike, they never went back down, did they? Nothing went back down. And it's literally going to shop for a pint of milk and then you're a tenner down. And it's like, fucking hell, I only came in for a loaf. Right, any loves and hates, Shane? Nick on Saturday. Sorry, this is a shambolic.
Nick Saturday. He's struggling there, struggling with the new format.
I don't like it.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Brentford score goals, don't they? And we don't. So if you're looking for a prediction, it's not going to be a happy one from me. I mean, they scored as many goals as Liverpool have in their top. And if you look at bottom of the league, Wolves have scored 9 goals. They scored nearly double what we have in the bottom. So by that logic, I'm going to predict a Brentford win.
Sake. Jesus Christ. Every time we think we're out, Nick's dragged us back in.
I think Brentford are going to quick. I think they're going to win probably 2-0, maybe even 3-0.
Okay, now I'm glad I did this.
As what Bournemouth at home was last season, I reckon what will happen is the heavens will open. It will absolutely hammer it down. I can just see it now. I just think it's going to be a miserable day, and we're going to be shivering wet through the pep afterwards.
Oh, on that note. Cheers, Nick.
On that note.
Bloody hell.
Fucking hell.
You come here for joy, people. This is entertaining.
Nathan's not on the podcast, so someone's got to do the impression of him, haven't they?
Right. Right, let me get onto the mag quickly and then I'll get onto your hates and loves. Also, because of the skyjackings and what, like I said, you know, are any going to be simple? I know we get one 3pm as well, an extra, but it's like bastardised the whole fixture. But it has firmed up and hopefully Nathan and Nick can get the time off as well. So on the Friday, December the 6th, the day before Forest, we're just going to walk outside Old Trafford as much as long as we can. Because last year I did as much as I could physically do with the 500,000 steps. Glad I did it. But also I want to, like, hopefully involve a few of you. If you want to just come down, do one lap, do two laps, get on the pod. Just going to raise as much money as we can. Anyone who can support it. So on to the mag. Please buy the mag. The sales weren't the greatest last time. But say, the amount of effort, it's like trying to hook up ideas. And I know I keep saying, please, if you've got a story or a mate's got a story, get writing. But the joy of it is like start planning, oh, in a couple of years, it's going to be 50 years and then storing them away. And this is, it's going to be three or four mags, but this is 8 pages. And there's a lad who's written about the whole season in across a page and a half. And it is just transports you to it. It's just so well written. And he's not written for the mag before. It just like, and he did 52. And it's got hitchhiking, it's got drama, and the whole thing is really good. So then we've got, just over to you, Reds, your views on Eric. Different. Then we've got a tribute to a lovely Red News reader, Alan Trafford, by one of his mates. Miss him. A brilliant A to Z of United by Finno from that Seinfeld t-shirt I saw. I said, can you do it? And he's come up with about a near encounter with George Best off Nick's mate Hookie, which is a belter. He's let it go. A Red who's been going, Nigel, for 60 years, who's currently in Pakistan watching the cricket, has written about his memories, and that's good. Dunk is in enemy territory. 8 pages on your emails and letters, because so many have come in the bullshit of modern football. Interview with Mabeen from Race Across the World is really interesting. The regulars, well-sourced gossip, £4 for the next 6 weeks, and it will keep you going in the bog. Okay, so please. Right, so hates and loves, Shane?
I'm going to start with loves. I enjoyed the international break, which we used to curse international breaks, but I, like you both said and Nathan said, I enjoyed the break. Although, albeit, I went to Budapest and literally chucked a bag in the hotel. We were out in the corner and there, the Dutch team were literally just turning up. They were staying around the corner because they were playing Hungary. So, I got to see the misfortune of the first person I saw was Virgil van Dijk get off, and then I saw Xerxes and stuff. So, yeah.
Did you give no escape? Did you give Xerxes a fist pump though? Come on.
No, I didn't. I felt a bit bad. Well, I didn't feel bad actually, because you gave me a grief for hugging Scousers at Glastonbury, but I saw some local with a Liverpool shirt waving it about to be signed. So I did hurl some youth girls busted abuse, whether the Hungarians understood that or not, I don't know. So that was good, the international break. Paul Heaton is my love of the week for his, like, yeah, his stuff on gig pricing. Coached quite a few gigs, so he's been good about sort of calling out some of the other bands that do this dynamic pricing. My hates, a bit of a random one really, warranties, 10 year, like my case broke actually when I was away and I realised it had a 10-year warranty, and I thought, for once, you know, it's usually, I think they bank on people ignoring this, so the handle broke and I'm like in the process of claiming against a 10-year warranty, but it's like,
I've always wondered who did that.
But it's like that. It's like, is it IT or it's the, it's not like it was only a £50 case, cabin case. But they're like the interrogation, they must be employing, but it's like a full on forensic. Like, I had to send videos in, I had to send pictures in, and then I've had about two emails. Like, this woman was emailing me at 9 o'clock last night, sort of saying, we want more details on the events leading up to the incident. I'm like, it's not a murder, it's just that the handle jammed. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are the events leading up to it?
Do you know everyone in that luggage firm is taking the piss, and when they arrive in the morning, they go, guess who sent us this fucking video of a suitcase?
So anyway, they've wound me up now. Like, I did send a sarcastic video of, like, the bloody handle is jammed. How do I video that? You know what I mean? Well, I'm just shaking the case violently. So that's wound me up. So 10-year warranties, they give it all the big talk, but they do everything
You could make this into like a soft gore production, couldn't you? You could have music. No, 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 no. You come in your dressing gown.
Yeah.
With a suitcase, send that to them. Send that to the refund department. Well, I will say, I wish you'd grabbed Xerxes, like Wayne's World, and then you could have written in a couple of years going, his form was revolutionised after an encounter with a red in Budapest. Where do you stand on Xerxes, Shane?
I don't like to judge players because so soon being sensible, but it's looked like, to be honest with you, the new signings have looked far from convincing all round. And honestly, it is a bit of a basket case coming in. I think it's always difficult, isn't it, coming into a failing team or a team that's not doing well. It's difficult to judge. But yeah, he's looked... the bits that have looked good, he doesn't look like a striker. He looks like someone who's gonna supply a striker. So I don't think he's going to be the answer to our goals problems. But yeah, I'm a bit confused by the signing. He seems like a player we didn't necessarily need. That's not to say he's not going to
be I kept saying that his touch was lovely, and now I'm just losing that in the ether. That I think, Jesus, he's had some stinkers. His cameo at Villa was just appalling. But yeah. De Ligt looks like a fatter Maguire as well, with different colour hair. It's like he worries me.
De Ligt looks to me like, if anything, he looks like a poor man's Maguire at the moment. But I don't know if that's a confidence thing. But the lad behind me, Old Trafford, sort of from the off, like a bit like Nick. And Nick, you watch more sort of football, European football, than I do. But the lad behind me is quite, you know, watches a lot of football, and he reckons De Ligt is absolutely abysmal on the ball. And he said that from the off. He called it out from the start. Jesus. So I'm kind of like half ignoring that. We give him a chance. My other hate, by the way, is a random one. Mm. It's adults playing children's games and cheating, and you get the competitive sort of dad syndrome. But I saw the news today. I don't know if to admire him or not, but some 82-year-old, he's known in the sport as King Conker, was caught with a steel conker in his pocket at some Conker championships. He was like, they raised suspicion when he kept getting one hit smashes, and they found a steel fake conker in his pocket. 82 years old playing fucking conkers. What, of all the, like, in the world, there's a lot of things you could take up to get
your kicks in life. I never got into conkers, you know, where people varnish them and vinegar them and just think, what's the effort? What a load of flaff. Just go to the pub at 13. What are you doing? It's like, what do you reckon our chances of fist pumps turning this? And I maintain, you know, if we do stick with this, the league will be fucking relegation form, but we have a chance of a cup with him, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm quite confident of the Europa. I think it's a winnable cup, and as Nick alluded to, we can go through having a shit fest of this side of Christmas, even into the new year, and still get to that stages, and then anything happens and we can fluke it. And in fairness to Ten Hag, like it shouldn't be forgotten, and people say it's got, you know, there's one-offs and we can't live with the dross in between, but he's got to 3 cup finals and won 2 cups in 2 seasons. There's a lot of, I know it's Man United, we should expect better, but that's no mean feat, and so I think Europa, we've got a reasonable chance of winning.
I think we'd have it with us in charge. I mean, it's that ludicrous a competition until you get till March that anything can happen. You know, you could be completely and utterly shit until March. Whatever. Right, Nick, anything on the hates, loves, and what we've just talked about? How's that for a link?
Loved it. Loss of the week is definitely England having a German manager, because I've just really enjoyed Biden with Mace up at work. You're all like proper England boys, and you know, love singing German bombers in the air, all that nonsense, shanties and stuff like that. So winding them up has just been an absolute love of the week. It's probably been the best day of my life, to be honest. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. I have two hates of the week. My first one is old Soviet sleeper trains.
Well, you've been away too, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been trying to tick off every country in Europe, which has successfully managed to complete this.
Fair play.
Do all. And the last one was to go to Moldova. And I got the train from Bucharest to Chisinau, which is the capital of Moldova. And it's a 13-hour sleeper train. And honestly, it was ridiculous the amount of people that woke me up at 3:30 in the morning. And passport stamp out of Romania, then a customs check at separate times. I managed to nod off, got over the border, then got stamped into Moldova, tried to get back to sleep again, and then somebody else came in from customs, really annoying me. But the train was just old. It stank. It was disgusting. And it was just awful.
But your dad absolutely was buzzing his tits off, so it was all worth it.
My dad loved it. Yeah, my dad loved it. Loved slumming it, yeah, but to be fair, though, he's from Aden, so I'm from Ratcliffe, so that explains a lot, but we'll leave that there. But, so that was that. But my other hate of the week is the British government, for many reasons, a list as long as your arm. But, you know, it gives you those recommendations on travel sites, and it says, like, on the government website, it's like, do not travel here, and it goes, it's got, like, a colour system, like a traffic light system, and it's like, there's a breakaway region in Moldova called Transnistria, which is like got Russian troops on the border. Russia obviously a hate of the week as well. But they've got troops on the border of Transnistria when you go into it, which is pretty freaky. But the people there are so lovely. Like, they're so nice and so friendly. And you're dead safe when you go there. It literally is like, do not travel here. And you're like, what's wrong with it? There's literally nothing wrong with it. Everyone's dead nice, dead friendly, dead welcoming to tourists. And you just think, it's all a bit of a con, isn't it? Do you know, I think it's just a bit.
I hasten to add, Nick, if you've taken any kind of bribery here, as long as you share it, we don't mind. We'll say whatever you want us to say, whatever's been agreed, as long as there's a fair wedge in this. I will say we won't post this as the picture of this podcast, but Nick's photo of the train sleeper toilet was a pictorial of Spurs at home 0-3. Let's just leave it at that. It was right. I've got some. Who would do that? Who would ask for that video? Right, I'm going to do some quick forum questions. Red Lester said he was misinterpreted. Then Nick's going to finish what he wanted to do last pod. But he said, "Is Megastore, when did you last buy something not for kids?" Well, I don't. But obviously I get stuff. I'm wearing a Manchester United dressing gown that me and Albert have matching. Get in. I know, soppy sad. But so if people get me it, but obviously, I mean, I don't even know. I don't go in the Megastore, so I don't even know what they sell. I think the last time I went in properly was about, pre-2005, and they had a deodorant, Man United deodorant, and I thought, that is really taking this branding fucking ridiculous. Right, then Skyflies asked, how relevant is a magazine versus online commentary these days? Well, we lose in the battle, obviously, because mag sales are hard, and we're coming to probably the last, if hopefully we can get a couple of more years, please God. But I will maintain it should be the other way around, because, like, what do you remember online? You know, all these spats and rows and arguments and petty and the mundane news, and the mag has put tears, blood, effort. I hope you realise, even if you disagree, it's come from the heart. So really, the magazine should be relevant, but we're in a noisy world where everything's got to be in segments of 20 seconds, and that's sad. And I hope it somehow, I doubt it will, but for generations that come, kick back and think, like Shane's been saying, what I've said before is I'm trying to read at night, and I'm properly loving it. I'm reading a book downstairs, and then I go up and read a book upstairs, and it's like, for the last couple of hours before I go to bed, there's none of this. The noise is there, and it's really nice. I hope youngsters, you don't need to be arguing with a stranger. And also, you know, a 10-second video of a bloke with teeth from Turkey dancing while he builds, not necessary. I'll go through the, and then you'll miss us. I'll just say, you'll miss us when we're gone, people. So if you can, if you haven't bought the mag, do, because when a person with an egg and a number on Twitter is ranting, you know, still fanzines, print is not dead. Shane, Nick, anything to add to that?
Well, just on Skyflow, Sean's point, the question on the, this is a bit deep but reflective, but my reflection lately is, if you like take Red News as a fanzine or any sort of written content, it's a bit more reflective and thoughtful Whereas online content to me is by and large these days reacting. So, you know, take the, which was to my mind just pure clickbait, the sort of noise around Fergie today, both, you know, keeping out the dressing room and his pay. It really was just clickbait, you know, about like, you know, it's part of a general cost cutting thing and it's part of a general policy on the dressing room, which includes Fergie. It's not just about him. But anyway, all those stories you read online are mostly just instant responses, as you kind of alluded to. So we get stuff now about a German football manager in England, or we get instant responses where when we read news, it's a bit of a step back, of a bit more reflective, it's a bit more thoughtful, and it's about, like, it's not sort of clickbait reaction to whatever's said that day. I kind of think there's a big place for that more reflective and more sort of longer term trend kind of thinking, and also like some of the history and some of the diversity that's in a fanzine. So I think there's a strong place for that, in my opinion, and it's a bit sad that not as many people view it like that, but I think there's still a place for that. And if we lose that voice, you're kind of losing all sorts of, you know, you're going to lose all sorts of sense of the sort of wider perspective of supporting a football club.
Well, I maintain, you know, like, you know, we need your people listening, but it's like, I think the double mags has actually helped us, because there is that 6-week gap allows, like, the buy this one, please, but the December mag, the stuff that I've held over because of the debates about Eric, some great stuff in there, great. Sorry, this is a question that I've just come to. Bruno, have we got a problem? Nick?
Well, I mean, at the back end of last season, we saw how bad we were without him. I mean, that Crystal Palace 4-0 game was a massive concern. I do still think he's being asked to do far too much in the team. He just needs to have a much briefer role of what he is now. I feel like we have slightly more creative and a couple of better players since we was first signed back in 2020. So I'd just like to see him just have a bit more of a simplified role. Really, I mean, you've seen that Eriksen's had a very simple role while he's been in the squad, and he's been playing pretty well. I mean, he scored and got an assist tonight for Denmark as well. So, you know, he just does too much.
But is he the type of player? I agree, but is he the type of player who just won't take that instruction? Won't be told? As I've said a few times, Ollie said it in his departing one of his interviews. You know, I asked him, I told him, limit yourself, restrict you, because that was what Cantona's changing progression was great at. You know, limit your moves, time your moves, and like, you let the ball do the work, and then you've got that time and space that you haven't. And now it's just, he's become a bit petulant as well, whether the red card. I still maintain, you know, like, I know it was a slip, but I'm not so, I did think at the time against Spurs it was a red, and yeah, I know the slip, and he didn't catch him with his stud, but it was petulant, and you think, you know, we know United, but the interesting of that VAR audio, you can tell him say, and not many people picked up on this, he goes, it's because it's me, and I undoubtedly think it is because of him, but that's United. Sometimes you just got to fucking handle the beast that United is. You're captain of United, the biggest club, whether we are on the results, we're the biggest club in the world, so there's an intensity. You're the captain, usually grab the medal and fucking sort it out. And no, you know, you don't need to cover 90% of the pitch, because you can cover 15 to get 90% of the results. Shane?
Well, yeah.
That's bad maths.
I kind of disagree with that a bit, not just the maths bit, but the point that I find Bruno frustrating at times, but like Connor said this at the back end of last season, like, if you look at what he contributes over time relative to, you know, a fairly poor performing United side, we'd be absolutely fucked, even more fucked than we are without him. And I think the point of him, like, I think he wouldn't try to overdo stuff, because if that other stuff was filled by other people that were doing it. And I think, you know, in games, it's just, there's not the same, there's not people willing to put the yards in and the running that he does is not people.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Tries to do. And I just think he's overcompensating for others personally. And I think it'd be interesting to see what he would perform like in a top side.
No,
maybe
that's,
he would still
that's
be a bit
fair.
Erratic, and maybe he'd still be. But I think at the moment, like, there's a lot more problems at Manchester United Football Club than.
Well, no, but that's the. that's the general head fuck of where we are, because I said, like, after the cup final, I said I'd never dispute, because he was so immense, more for the work off the ball that day. He was so incredible that I said, no, that's it. That puts it to bed forever. And then in the malaise that we are, we're seven games in and he's getting debated more than ever. Right, a couple of quick mag questions. Was Red Leicester, have you ever experienced physical assault while selling the mag? Well, yeah, and Notts Forest lad, a United fan, unfortunately, pushed me once, dickhead. And then QPR, we had Cantona on the front cover and Cantona equalised. They were subsequently went down in the last minute. And next thing I look, and one of the sellers is having fisticuffs with a QPR fan who punched him on the side, obviously without notice. But the seller was a right old unit in terms of... And next thing I see, he's got a road sign and he's chasing the bloke down the street. It was just like what the hell? And I will, West Ham, when we sold 95, that was the worst abuse I've ever had. And then, again, the lad, he was with me, and the West Ham were across the road, and United's lot were coming down up the road a bit later. And this big West Ham bloke comes in and goes, "You've got some front, haven't you?" And then my mate just goes, "I think you have with those tits." I was like, how we didn't get done in. Which fans exclude? Well, because Liverpool, unfortunately, the worst for spitting. But which fans, excluding City, Liverpool, and Leeds, are the most hostile? Newcastle, Forest, for some reason. And then which away fans are the nicest? That's interesting. Fulham are usually bizarrely nice. And then Arsenal fans always buy off us. Nick, any difference to those?
Yeah, do you know what? Every time we play West Ham, I always feel something happens now. I don't feel it with any of the other teams, but every time West Ham come, it's just loads of young lads in it that just want to prove themselves.
Flat caps.
So I always feel like you've got to be on your guard for there. And I've sold for... I remember when we played Sheffield United in the Cup a few years ago, and I was selling after the match on the bridge on Smart Busby Way. And I had four lads around me who I just assumed they were like buying the mag. And I don't know if you remember this, Barry, but then they robbed off. They just like, one lad just like pushed me and tripped up over the bag of mags. So it's literally caught me off guard because I was like going into my belt to try and, you know, get my change ready. And the other lad just like ran off with about seven mags, just snatched them out of my hand and ran. So, and then the second time we played Sheffield United as well, they had some shit as well. So I'd say Sheffield United and West Ham, I don't like either of those two football clubs, they can both.
It used to be a much more thing that people, I still do, you know, like there's not many left, but people would buy you off, but now you don't get any rival fans, very, very rarely ever buying off you. And sometimes we do, but the sad aspect, I'm just not putting Nick, Nathan and me through it. Sad aspect of recent times is we've stopped selling pretty much after games, because the abuse is horrendous off our own when we lose, as we've said before, never get it. But like, we've just had to stop. You know, there'd be the odd game we do it, but it's really sad that you can't even sell your own fans in after a game because you're so shit. Right, the last question, you stayed up, you both worked today, so like. Right, last one. Ollie Pancho asked, name your strongest current United 11. That's a fucking...
Jesus Christ. That means I've got to know 11 players.
All right, no, but right. Who are you putting in the middle?
Whether you think it's on form or not, I think on form, you know, Maguire and Evans. But I think, yeah, I'll have Martinez and Maguire in the middle.
Okay. And then are you sticking with Delo? We've got no choice, have we?
Yeah, like obviously, I've been a bit defensive of Delo over the...
Well, where do you stand now then?
I think he's struggling, but I think he's playing on the wrong side. But I don't, Luke Shaw, if he was fit and on form, you'd have him. I'm assuming it's not who's available currently, but I think you'd have Luke Shaw. And the new lad who I can never pronounce his name.
Maserati.
On the other side. So
that's another shame of, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon, but that doesn't that just sum it up?
Yeah, that injury. So I think I'd have those four across the back.
We're actually asking you a football question here, Shane. You look pensive.
No, I was waiting. I've done the back four. Do you want me to do the whole team?
That's usually the strongest 11. Go on.
I think I like
Maguire, you know, but I think if you sign new players, you've got to put them in. So you've got, you know, you've just got to. If you want to implement a whole new thing, you've got to. So it's got to be Dele, it's got to be Ugarte, it's got to be Zerk. But where does Xerxes play in all this? You know, like if Foyland's up top, where? And then where does Bruno fit in? It's just bonkers when you think about it too long.
Well, I agree, Ugarte's got. You've got to give him a go because our midfield is...
And we're knackering Manu out, aren't we? You know, he's got to have a rest.
Yeah.
See how this 2 weeks does.
If we you'd definitely have Cobbie in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, and maybe hopefully him withdrawing from England will do us the world of good. You know, he needed that. I hope he got away somewhere. Nick, do you have, like...
I don't know, I mean... The first position usually debates the goalkeeper, and fucking hell, we probably should have had Nathan on for that one.
isn't it the karma of the gods that fucking De Gea, who I love, but starts saving penalties as well? Like a final insult to the footballing gods that United get shit again. And that bloke, he's saving two penalties in a game. Like, why are you doing that in Gdansk? Jesus. One of those. Just one of them. But Unana, I
top scorer, you tend to send him off to Italy as well, isn't it, Tom? And he seems to be smashing the goals in as well.
Yeah.
Can't score. How delightful.
I know, I'm great. Buzzing for him. But they like it, you know, like the Unana thing, I still think there's question marks. Not to bring the doom levels down, but when you look at it, you know, and I do make this point in the mad, I thought, yeah, we've really kicked on this summer after the transfer window, really kicked in. And then we talk about it now and I think, God, we're still 4, 5, 6 players. Not even like title contenders, like that top four. So many have got to really up the game. So many fucking questions still, isn't there? Let's hope we get a good day. Anything to add, lads? You've done me proud as ever.
Still answering that question. I think... I think of the people going, of the people up top, I think, you know, Garnacho's in, Hoyland's probably in as day, and I actually think in glimpses this season, Rashford's in, so it's probably Xerxes the one that would be benched. I don't think we know what our team is. In defence of the manager, the sort of injuries mean that he's been forced into quite a lot of changes. I know there's another question about why we keep getting so many injuries, but there was some table come out today, wasn't it, about the number of injuries teams are getting, and we were kind of up there. But
oh, we're top of a table. Yes, get in. Fucking grasp at any straws. We're top of a table. Yes. Fist bump, Shane.
I'd like to just say about you know that question that you asked when we played Palace in the league. And you had a debate, didn't you, with a couple of people?
About ashamed. Have you ever felt ashamed to be a United fan?
Yeah, have you ever felt ashamed of being a United fan? And obviously we disagree on it, don't we, Barney? I don't disagree with you a lot, I'll be honest with you, I really don't. But I definitely disagree with you on this one, because you were saying, obviously, that you'd never felt ashamed about being a United fan. And I completely disagree, and I was amazed that, you know, everyone's entitled to getting those, because they've voted their own opinion for it. And, you know... For me, I have been ashamed of being a United fan, and that's even when we've been winning stuff. You know, don't get me wrong, it's not just something that's come over the last couple of years. But, like, you know, we were talking about, like, the Super League, for example. It's like, I'm ashamed as a football club that they tried to break away and kneecap English football and move away from that. And I know you were saying, well, you know, that's not United, that's the suits and all the rest of it. But my argument is that they still represent the football club. And decisions they make impact on what team you support. You know, if you were following something else in another walk of life, you know, and you're with, you know, you'd leave your wife, couldn't you? And people say, well, you can leave your wife, but you can never change football club and all the rest of it. But if your wife was making these kind of decisions that you vehemently disagreed with, you would break up over time. But with the football club, you basically have got a badge that you follow that even changes nowadays as well. You know, the lack of fanzine access is shocking. You know, the fact that I feel like our opinions don't matter. The ticket issues have been a disgrace. I mean, we all know that the football club tried to get away with those Pilsen tickets. You know, we knew that they were trying to sell them off to sports breaks. They weren't asked about proper fans in there. You feel like they don't care as much maybe with the European ticketing system now. I mean, I'm one credit. I've got no chance of getting one. Last year, Galatasaray went down to, you know, went down to nothing, and, you know, could have got a ticket if I could have afforded to go. But then, you know, this year, Fenerbahce's gone down to free credits, and, you know, that's annoying me. You know, I'm ashamed of a lot of different things that they do, but those all, the decisions that they make reflect on us and reflect on us as a football club and reflect on us as fans. So that's why I think it's, you know, we don't matter to them in any way, shape or form, and that also makes me ashamed about it.
No, but I do understand what you're saying, but then I reverse that back, you know, and we'll get onto this in the next few weeks, including Nathan and everyone, but because of that, it's like I sort of reverse it to go that they're not the club that they're not, you know, when I think of Manchester United, that's not what I my United is purely the community and, you know, vain hopes. And they've got rid of so many decent staffers, but, you know, like, so they just, I look at them like I would an alien. They're just an alien concept to me. They're not United, but I totally understand what you're saying. It's like, it's disagreeing about the, how you define it, isn't it? Shane?
Yeah. I totally agree. And I don't disagree with most of Nick's points. It's just I'm with you in a sense that I'm not ashamed of like, I look at Man United as us, you know, the fans and those that go, and the sort of that intangible thing that connects us all, blah, 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 that we've tried, you know, we've all tried to articulate over the years. But I'm not necessarily ashamed, like, for myself, of decisions that I get the point, but I'm not ashamed. It's not me that's kind of sacking sort of the ticket office staff, for example. And I'm disappointed and I'm angry at, like, the way, you know, I don't think, you know, the way the new regime have come in and just indiscriminately just slashed costs. I'm sure there was, you know, the truth is somewhere in between. They should have done some stuff. But, you know, someone said to me, I thought was quite astute, sort of said, you know, You look at the way any organisation, but a football club, treats the sort of customer-facing or fan-facing staff is a measure of how they look at us. And the people they've hit hard are the, you know, and for all of our moans and groans, there's some good people in the ticket office that have actually protected our interests in spite of the basket case of ownership and the regime above them. They've gone out of their way to protect, you know, with the help of, you know, the likes of Ian Sterling, the fanzines, etc. But, you know, there's good people there that are supporters themselves that are representing us, and they're the ones that have been hit. So am I ashamed of that? Well, it's not, like, I'm not ashamed of it because we haven't done that. It's that Ineos or the club should be ashamed of that, how they've treated them people. But I get Nick's point, so I think it is a bit of a subjective one. But I don't think, the only thing I'm a bit, like, embarrassed or I guess it's a bit ashamed of is sometimes how we've treated visiting fans in terms of the ticket prices. You know, we moan about it ourselves. And I've seen, you know, some clubs come in recent times, and, like, I just think, given the sort of, you're selling, like, 2,000-4,000 tickets to away fans, and then to sort of to milk that for some real marginal gain, it stinks a little bit, because that backfires on us as supporters when we go away. And I think that's
disgusting. To charge a tenner membership fee for supporters who shouldn't be members or wouldn't be members is disgusting. I totally get that, Nick. It's like, because, you know, like, there's disgust, outrage, anger at Super League, you know, frothing. But it, like, I don't look at it as my club. But maybe that, you know, that's a soft, shy answer, but that's not United. So, you know, it's like when the likes of Peter Kenyon, going back to that, and he smarmily, you know, and I remember he went to O'Brien's, or you know, and he said, and he talked all these platitudes, and I didn't meet him, but, you know, in that context, and he's not United. You know, you're clutching it. I was on the Stretford end at 1968 that no one's ever going to be able to verify, but they're not United. You know, they might wear the suit, they might work for the club, but it's, we could debate this for fucking...
issue. They still represent it, and it's like the whole, you know, thing with, you know, with Greenwood and stuff as well. It's like they're looking at trying to bring them back.
It's scanning,
and it's like there's so many small factions to what United are that make it this. Yeah, no. It is. Not saying there's not a, like, our community that we have, I love it, and I think that we're a great community for what we've got. You know, Cocky made the point in the group, and if he was on, I'm sure he'd make the same point now, which is, you look how great we can be when we protested against the Super League stuff. It's like, there are good things, and I'm really proud to be United fan about certain stuff at times, but, you know, you can't just sit there and go, well, I'm proud to be United fan, blind loyalty, because the shit of what they do is so awful.
But then...
What we do, and who's calling out for? My argument was, is that for me, my protest isn't just I'll turn up for the Europa League, Super League, you know, whatever it is, you know, one day, and then try and kick for it. My protest is selling a fanzine every single home game. That's what that means to me. Nobody can take that away from me. I love Man United more than anything in the world. But my point is, though, is that, you know, I feel like I have to do something about it, and I stand by what I believe in. And I sit there and you know, sell a fanzine, you know, pretty much every home game, because I believe in what it does and what it's about, and we should be holding the club to account. If the club was perfect and had nothing to feel ashamed about, there wouldn't need to be a fanzine.
No.
We'd just be reporting on, oh, isn't the club is great. and that's how I feel about it.
I don't think there's one football club in the world. No, but it is nuanced. I get that. And you Nathan, do, and me, we do it because the club, and we'll get onto this in the coming weeks, but my view is we've got to always be on the outside, because there's people, you know, Ian Sterling, his famous quote, and me and him had pints over, is we all get to the final destination going different routes. Ours is on the outside, but I always maintain that the club know we're there. As long as we're still here by the Mag on Sat, you know, we're a visual, and UWS, a visual thing of, right, like, you may ignore us, you may treat us like shit, but we're still fucking here. But we could go on for it. We'll carry this on over a pint on Saturday. Also, I'm going to have a Twix to relax and read a book. But do you know what? To positivity, the one thing I've been certain in the recent shit show of United, not the suits, because I'll never trust them, and I never have, but in terms of Manchester United football team, which is not what it's all about, because you want a good, decent club as well as team, but I just am convinced, I have no fucking iota of an idea when, but we will be back. You know, the history, we will be back. And even when we're not there, we've still won cups. We want to do better. But I just think we will be back. I just don't know when. So let's hope it's soon.
Just on the Twix, you've put, like, do you eat your Twix just like room temperature? I have to have my Twixes refrigerated or in the freezer first.
See, my wife puts chocolate in the fridge, and what is that about? I mean, I don't want it like smudged, like you shat yourself in the summer heat chocolate, but why would you put a chocolate bar in a fridge? It's savage.
It has to be in the fridge. I couldn't eat a Twix that's not been chilled.
Why? But chocolate, what?
Because it's nicer.
No, I don't. Nick, so, right, it's one vote each. Come on. This is the important part.
I kind of get where you're coming from. Depends on what chocolate. Your mood. Yeah. Well, like, you know, you wouldn't put a Kit Kat in the fridge because that'd just be too hard to bite, and that's just going to shatter your teeth, isn't it? So I kind of get where you're coming from.
Well, Kit Kats are shy. They shouldn't even be in this conversation.
that's my favourite chocolate biscuit.
Is it? Really?
Yeah.
It's a bit like Anthony. Kit Kat's like Anthony. You bring him on as a last minute sub when you're struggling, but you wouldn't have it as your go to.
If we're in a nuclear bunker going back to Barney's start of this, and we're sitting there and it's us three, and you said, it's right, lads, I've got like a multi pack of Kit Kats, that's all we've got to live on. I'm walking out into the fucking radiation.
I tell you what, though, there's a part of me that's that strange with United, that if it was, I'd just go, for how many minutes or hours, I'd just go, I wish we'd beaten fucking West Brom. I really wish we'd won that last game. Right, on that note, cheers, lads. Glory, glory, Man United. Support the fanzines. Cheers for all your support. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Whatever will happen, but We're going to a 3 o'clock game and we don't have many of those. Take care, everyone, and take care of yourselves. All right, cheers. Cheers, you two.